We are set free from the darkness, and we are introduced into the light. When a man experiences salvation, he comes to know God, and God is light.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
God's perfect balance, being and then doing, is, I believe, a bit of the essence of what Peter has in mind in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and following. In fact, there's sort of a natural section here. Every Christian should learn to define, accept, and act upon what he is as a child of God. And Peter tells us what we are in this passage. This isn't the only place where we learn in the Scriptures what we are, but this is one very significant place where we learn it. Every Christian should learn to define, what am I? What am I as a Christian? What does it mean that I'm a Christian? Do I really understand the implications of being a Christian? And what should I do in the light of that? We should learn to define, accept, and act upon what we are as children of God. And it seems to me in 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through the third chapter, all the way down through verse 12, and I think that's kind of a natural section, Peter shares with us three significant insights regarding that theme. I'll give you the outline. We're only going to look at a couple of verses today, but I'll give you the outline. First of all, it seems to me Peter speaks of the Christian's identity. That's verse 9, the first half of it. The Christian's identity. He says, you're a chosen generation. That's your salvation. He says, you're a royal priesthood. That's your service. He says, you're a holy nation. That's your sanctity. That's your purity. He says, you're a peculiar people. That doesn't mean odd. If we're odd, we shouldn't blame God. That's your security. The Christian's identity, the first half of verse 9. And then the Christian's ministry is in the latter part of verse 9 and verse 10. Peter says, be what you are. And then he tells us what we are. And then he says, do what you ought. And he tells us what we ought to do. In the latter part of verse 9 and also verse 10, he says, we have a message. And it revolves around God himself, that you might show forth the praises of God, the excellencies of God. And we have a motivation. There are a whole host of things that God has done for us, and they motivate us to carry out this mandate. We're called out of darkness into light. We're now the people of God. We've been the recipients of God's mercy. And then the last point is the Christian's visibility. That begins in verse 11, and it goes all the way down through chapter 3 and verse 12. How do we make visible what we are to the watching world? Practical ways in which we make our faith visible. He says we need a respect for purity, verses 11 and 12. We need a respect for authority, verses 13 to 25. And it's the authority of government and the authority of employment. And then he says we need a respect for family, verses 1 to 7 of chapter 3. And then we need a respect for unity and do everything to maintain it on a biblical basis, verses 8 to 12. That's how we make visible our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our identity, verse 9. Our ministry, verses 9 and 10. Our visibility, that whole long section, which becomes really the practical application of what Peter is saying. Now let's look at the Christian's identity for a moment. Peter says, I want you to be what you are. Here's God's perfect balance, first being and then doing. What are you? Be what you are. You need to learn to define it, accept it, and act upon it. What are you according to the Word of God? The Christian's identity. Peter says you are four things. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation, and you're a peculiar people. Those are four things that you are. That's what you became. Don't deny what you are by what you do. But then he says, there is something for you to do. I want you to see your identity, Peter says, and I also want you to see your ministry. And we'll try to close with this thought, ministry. He says, not only be what you are, but he says, do what you ought. Well, what should we do? He says, number one, you have a message. Do you notice? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, in order that. Purpose clause. Here's the purpose for it all. Hapos is the Greek particle there. In order that you should show forth the praises of him. That is, the praises of God. Peter says, you have a fantastic identity as Christians. We are all that Peter has said we are in the first half of this verse. But why are we this? Peter says that a Christian's wealth
is not to be hoarded, it's to be given away. He cannot be content. No true Christian can be content that his needs are met while others all around him are living out their lives with emaciated faces and hands, with empty lives. You and I have been enriched through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but now we must give it away. We can't hoard it. We must share it with other people. So Peter says we are all these things in order that we might show forth the praises of him. God's great work of transformation in us is so that he can do a great work of proclamation through us. Did you follow me? God's great work of transformation in us is so that he can do a great work of proclamation through us. So he says, I want you to show forth. That means preach. That's what that word means. Ex angelo is the word. Angelo is the word for angel. It means to be a messenger. And ex means out. And the idea is to tell out. It means to proclaim abroad. It means to publish completely. It describes a complete and comprehensive proclamation of what is largely unknown to the vast masses of humanity. In effect, what it is a mandate for biblical evangelism. And there's not a one of us that's exempt from the great privilege and awesome responsibility of evangelism. We have a fantastic new identity through our faith in Jesus Christ. God has produced a radical transformation in us so that he can proclaim a message through us. And every one of us has that responsibility incumbent upon us. Show forth what? The praises of him. Show forth the praise. It means his eminent qualities, his excellencies. That word praises means excellencies. You know, there's some excellent things in the nature of God. There's no God like our God. The doctrine of God is a very precious and beautiful doctrine in the Scripture. And when you get to know our God, what a tremendous being our God is. And what a wonderful thing, what an intoxicating prospect that we can know this God personally through his Son, Jesus Christ. That he knows us individually. That he loves us. He loves every one of us as if there were only one of us to love. And he gives himself to us. He doesn't give things to us. He gives himself to us. He takes up residence within us. He says, I want you to show forth, I want you to declare, I want you to proclaim clearly and precisely and completely and comprehensively the excellencies and the beauties, the praises of God. God's praises are those matchless qualities, those moral excellencies, those mighty deeds, all of which reveal those things in the nature of God which are worthy of praise. That's the message we're to proclaim. But we might need a motivation to do that. So Peter lists three great blessings that God has given to us. Do you notice in the last part of verse 9 and in verse 10? We have a motivation. If we are to announce to others who God is and what God has done for us, what shall we say? We know who God is. I wish we had the time to look at this material. He's a God of peace, infinite serenity. He's a God of power, infinite potency. He's a God of purity, infinite sanctity. He's a God of passion or love, infinite empathy. He's a God of perpetuity or life, infinite vitality and infinite indestructibility. That's the kind of God he is. But what has he done for us? We're to declare this message. We have a message. We have a motivation. We're to declare this message. What has he done for us? Peter lists three benefits. Do you notice? Let me give them to you in outline form. Number one, Peter says we have manumission. You say, what is that? Manumission. To be manumitted means to be set free, to be liberated. To be emancipated. We are set free from the darkness and we are introduced into the light. When a man experiences salvation, he comes to know God, and God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John chapter 1 in verse 5. We were groping in the darkness. We were bound. We were in the grips of a situation from which we could not set ourselves free. We were headed for the most deadly kind of death, but Jesus Christ has turned us into the most vital kind of life. We're no longer in the darkness. We've been liberated. We have manumission. Every Christian should thank God for that. And if you're groping in the darkness, you don't know the way out, you're not certain that you're saved, you have no assurance that if you died today, you'd go to heaven, you ought to come to Christ, and he'll call you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have manumission. We also have meaning. Do you notice the Bible says, we who were not a people are now the people of God. We have meaning. Out of Adam's race, and every one of us is a member of that race, Out of Adam's race, broken and ruined by sin, disorganized and doomed to destruction, God, on the basis of Christ's redemptive work, is recreating a new race which has a whole new identity. We who were not a people are now the people of God. We're God's men. We're God's women. We're God's young people. And that means we have infinite value and we have infinite meaning. No Christian can be an ordinary man because he's God's man. We're the people of God. And finally, we have manumission, call out of darkness into light. We have meaning. We were not a people, but now we're the people of God. And finally, he says, Christians have mercy. We had not obtained mercy. And that's the perfect participle there. That is, we stood in a settled state under the tyranny and fear of judgment. We had not obtained mercy, but we now have obtained mercy. Our God is a merciful God. And the wrath of God need never fall on any one of us, because God in his love and mercy allowed that wrath, that righteous, that judicial, that equitable, that eternal, and that dreadful wrath of God. God in his mercy and his love allowed that wrath to fall upon Jesus Christ, who became our substitute. And we need never face the wrath of God. Because Jesus bore our wrath, God is free to deal with us on the basis of mercy and grace. We can experience the dynamic and the infusion of God's mercy and God's grace in a moment. That second word, obtained. The first obtained is a perfect participle. The second is an aorist participle. And it points to a decisive break at a moment in time. That's the aorist tense. It points to a decisive break with our former condition at the point of conversion. It means that something punctiliar, something pointed, something powerful happened to us the moment we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The mercy and the love of God flooded our lives, and the flood remains. We have mercy. And that's the motivation to engage in this biblical mandate for evangelism. We have experienced manumission, freedom. We have meaning, and we've experienced the dynamic of God's mercy. So Peter says this, reflect upon your identity. You who name the name of Jesus Christ, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people, a people for God's special possession. Be what you are. Think about it and act upon it every day. And then he says, beyond that, recognize your ministry. You have a message. Declaring, telling out the excellencies of God himself, this great God, declaring what he's like and what he's done. And what has he done? We have manumission, light for darkness. We have meaning, we're now the people of God. We have mercy, fear and condemnation no longer prevail. Are you a Christian? Can you claim this identity? It's a tremendous thing to be a child of God. If you're not a Christian, why don't you come to Christ and receive him as your Lord and Savior? Why don't you open your heart to the Son of God and settle this eternal issue? If you are a Christian, are you being what you have become in Christ? And are you sharing with others what God has done for you?
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.